So I never planned to be a superintendent. Everyone I know will tell you that I say that. And I, you know, as a superintendent, in my particular case, I have 7 bosses. And so that's often a challenge. And so I think superintendents have a particular challenge because they don't just have one person who's their boss.
Right.
And sometimes those 7, or in most traditional school districts, 5 board members have their own agenda items and their own philosophies and what type of leader you should be and what kids should learn, et cetera. So you have to start off with being, confident enough and strong enough to do what's right for kids and be able to, and you might in your heart feel that way, but to actually take the risk. Because once you do that and set that example, I think your staff feels more comfortable doing it.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My name is Janet Courtney, and my special guest today is Gina Lynch. Gina is the superintendent at Palmdale Aerospace Academy in Palmdale, California. Gina, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Awesome. So tell us a little bit about, I love that name. I have to tell you, Palm Space Aerospace Academy. It's a beautiful name. So tell us about your academy and about your role.
So yes, it's a wonderful TK-12 charter school. So it has 3 campuses on it. We have an elementary site that's TK-5, a middle school site that's 6 through 8, and then a high school site that is 9 through 12. And the focus is aerospace. We're in the aerospace industry here in Palmdale, California. If you've never been here before, it's a desert. It was kind of a shell shock for me when I moved here from Northern California.
I bet.
Joshua trees and a desert landscape for sure. And the school itself has about 76% of the students are socially and economically disadvantaged and high diversity. So we're a very special school with wonderful students and families. And we focus on robotics and STEAM, which is science, technology, engineering, art, and math. And I fell in love with it when I was looking for a position. And here I am, a superintendent.
Wow. So how many students did you say how many students you guys have?
We have about 2,300 at the school, or the academy. Mm-hmm. And we are an independent charter. We fall under the Palmdale School District. They are our authorizer. We have unique opportunities to do some great things for students. And what drew me here was the robotics and the STEAM side of things.
That's awesome. So how long has the charter been, or the school been in Palmdale?
This is about the 12th or 13th year. This is my 3rd year here, and we just had a charter renewal for 5 years this last year, or this year we were renewed for 5 more years. But it's fairly new. They started at the elementary school is the newest part of the campus, so they kind of expanded as the years have gone. Yeah.
It's interesting. Charter schools either start with the littles, and as they get bigger, they grow with the littles, and then others start with the high school and then kind of like work backwards. It's kind of like an interesting dichotomy that happens. So what is it about Palmdale that is all, I mean, tell me a little bit of, I wasn't aware, so.
About the city itself and.
Yeah. Well, as you said, it's aerospace. What's going on there?
Yeah, so we have Lockheed Martin and Northrop Grumman. We have a lot of and Edwards Air Force Base is out here. So we have a lot going on in the aerospace industry. And a lot of the charters in the area each have a specific focus. So when this one was created, it was to prepare students for the workforce in this area. So it was a great concept. And they started with STEM, but as things evolved, we added the A for the STEAM to add the arts, which is nice. We just added that this year, so that's fun to try to incorporate into our curriculum moving forward.
Yeah, that's great. And I bet you guys don't do things like 1950s America for your schools.
But you know, it's interesting you bring that up. I do, I go to conferences kind of all over, and I like to present on student engagement. And one piece about student engagement is that students just don't like being in school, because if you look at a lot of our traditional schools, they're traditional, meaning you go in and there's rows and they don't look a lot different from like the 1950s.
Right.
There are a lot of schools that are doing some innovative things. And I would say that we fall under that category. We're doing some classroom remodels this year. And so 10 of our teachers kind of competed, and their peers elected them to get brand new classrooms. And they got to design their classroom based around things that would engage students with student input. And so all their classroom spaces are going to be completely redone, so that students love to come to school.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, because one of the things, as you probably know, is that students just come and sit all day and sitting in a row, just like if it was us, it's just not fun. And it's unfortunate that, you know, some of our schools are still doing that because of funding issues and what other bureaucracies that get in the way.
So you guys have a philosophy of being innovative. So tell me about the programs and the things that you guys have done to step away from that traditional 1950s model.
Yeah. So being a charter school, we have some leeway, obviously, with our curriculum. And the focus, in order for students to graduate, they have to go through our STEM program. So there's multiple courses they have to take. We've added some CTE courses as well with capstone projects. And we want to focus on the hands-on learning. And so every student in our school will take some form of STEM. They're called STEM classes, but yeah. And the great news is that we've hired a STEAM and robotics director this year. So he's really been working hard, Patrick Brophy, to really work with our elementary school to bring some Lego robotics. So we have the STEM side of things, and we have the robotics, like the STEM specific courses, but then we also have robotics after school. We compete in robotics. They've won championships here, and looking to win world, hopefully soon, but filling that program. Yeah. And so he's really brought that back. And we have teams at the high school, the middle school, and the elementary school is now involved in Lego robotics competitions in the FLL. So we focus a lot on that. With our classroom spaces, we did a teacher summit. We called it the Student Engagement Summit this last summer. We had 41 teachers involved in that. And they came and we studied the book From the Campfire to the Holodeck. And that talked about four different spaces that need to be in a classroom, and it helps improve student engagement. So it's thinking outside the box. It's kind of how the Google spaces are structured. If you've ever been to Google, they have places everywhere you can sit, little pods or, you know, singular chairs, or you can sit in shared learning spaces. And so it's looking at how the classroom is designed in order to help the kids be more involved and active and happy to be at school. So a lot of the teachers are embracing that this year from that training.
Wow, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. So what would you say is one of the biggest challenges for you guys doing all of these innovations and other than probably funding, right?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I would say, one thing I love about this position is, this is my 30th year in education, and I would say for the past 27 years, it's been very difficult to do anything because there's so much bureaucracy. I'm just going to be honest. And I like to call myself an unsuperintendent because traditionally, you know, we want to be following all the bureaucracy and staying politically correct and all that. And I tend to challenge the status quo just because I feel like that's what's best for students, and I won't ever back down on that. So what drew me to this academy, one, was the STEM aspect and the robotics, but also the fact that it's a charter. And so we get to be a little different. Mm-hmm. And when I got here, the staff, they're so willing to do what's best for students. And they are so innovative and creative and wanting to learn that it's just it's been an eye opener. In the past, I think what holds up schools is that whole hierarchy, right? You have a school board saying what should happen. Then you have administration afraid to make the school board mad. And then you have teachers and administration mad. And so there's that whole bureaucracy that gets in the place of what's best for students. So I think that's the biggest challenge, which thankfully right now we don't have here.
Yeah. And no matter what, it seems like no matter what, you know, you talk about that hierarchy and then you've got the whole public who says schools are failing and media that's saying schools are failing. And that's why Brighter Together is here. I mean, I've said it a million times on this show, but it is. It's about, we aren't failing. We are doing amazing things. Stop trying to fit us into this one little box and using one test score to determine how we're doing, because that's not who we are. And it's not. And you know darn well that the metrics that they're using in the United States are not the metrics they're comparing us to in China and in Europe and all over the world. They're not putting special education students in those numbers. They're not doing any of those things. They're not. And it's maddening to me. It's so maddening.
Yeah, so. I agree. And when I was principal up in Northern California, my first year as principal, I had said to my staff at the time, we called it Maker Ed, which is the same as STEAM, but we I challenged them to not teach to the test, because that was the way we taught for years. Mm-hmm. I remember the pacing guides and all that. And I said to them, I really would like you to challenge yourself not to teach to the test and really teach our students how to think critically and creatively. And if students can solve problems that way, I think that they can accomplish anything, and then they can blow away any test, right? They don't need to worry too much. And so it took a while. Our superintendent at the time had to come in and give my staff permission to do that. But the year that they all decided to do it, our scores went through the roof. Mm-hmm. And so we saw a big difference. And I just stand behind that the more leeway and ownership we give the kids and really teaching them how to think, that these tests are just a snapshot, like you said. And it's unfortunate where we are, but.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, but that's why we're here too. You know, let's talk about it. Let's talk about the things that are holding education back, and let's celebrate our wins, you know, because that's important. You know, I'm happy to talk about how can we make it better? You know, what kinds of things, because the more our listeners, because our listeners are mostly going to be educators, not all of them, but a lot of them are educators. What are you doing? How are you doing it? How can I, from my worldview, take what someone else is doing and go, oh gosh, that sounds fantastic. Let's, you know, and that's why I always give at the end of every show, how do people get in touch with you? Because there are people that are going to want to talk. And the beautiful thing about education is everybody's willing to share, you know?
Right. Yeah. And it's hard to see when you're on your island, like who else is doing it. In fact, we just applied for a grant through the Marin County Office of Education, which we're excited that we've applied. We haven't been accepted or anything yet. We're hoping we are, but mm-hmm. they're creating a network of people who do the same thing. And then that way they're bringing us all together to share our best practices. And I think that's the way that we need to go, is creating little networks of people who are doing this work and then having us spread it. I like to go to conferences and spread what I do. I brought my student services director to the CSDC conference a few weeks ago, and that was fun. We shared our new classrooms and student engagement work we're doing. But it is hard to connect and to see, because you don't need a huge budget necessarily to do this kind of work. A lot of it's mindset. And so the mindset work, but it has to come from administration, because teachers aren't going to take a risk if their administrator's not going to take a risk. And if their board's not going to allow the administrators or superintendent to take a risk, you're kind of stuck.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And that makes, so are you finding that that you're able to retain your teachers longer because you're giving them the opportunity to do, to take risks and do some fun things and help kids?
Yeah, I mean, this is only my third year, so I only have three. And this year is the year that we're really focusing in on that. But the culture seems really positive here, and people seem to be happy where they are, and they're very excited to do these changes. And I feel like if they're changing their classroom, they kind of have ownership as a teacher as well. And when I did work similar in my old district up in Northern California, one of my third grade teachers, who had been in her 34th year of teaching, made an appointment to talk to me about her remodeled classroom. And she said, I just want to let you know, this was the most passion building thing I'd ever done. She said, I have been kind of burnt out, and thinking and restarting and redoing my classroom just gave me an energy. In fact, they made a documentary on her somewhere out there in the internet. But she really found her love and joy for teaching again, because she found passion in what she was doing. And so I think for some people that happens as well.
Awesome. Yeah, that's really important. I was saying in the last podcast that I did that it's like, you know, us that are, I'm 58. I hate saying that I'm 58, but there it is. Just 58 in October. It's October 28th, 2025. I turned 58 on the 12th. So it's been a whole 16 days, but I can't, you know, how did that happen? I don't know how that happened, but it's our generation, you know, that is, it's every year, every time, you know. And am I a baby boomer? Am I a Gen X? I'm right on that line, 67. Some say I'm a baby boomer.
I think you're a boomer and I'm a Gen X, I think.
Yeah. So, but I think I identify more with the Gen Xers than I do the baby boomers, but who knows? Anyway, but it's our generation that we've got to embrace this change, because the change is happening so incredibly fast, you know. And now we've introduced AI into it, and it's not slowing down, people. We've got to grab it. Because the kids are going to, one of the things that I always kind of chuckled about, and I don't want, you know, again, I don't want to offend anybody, but, you know, there was this concept out there that there was so much learning loss from the pandemic. You know, all the kids, there's so much learning loss. They didn't. And I challenged that. I say, they didn't stop learning. Kids didn't stop learning. They're going to learn whether you're teaching them or not. it's what you wanted them to learn that they lost. So, you know, yeah, they didn't learn the way that you wanted them to learn, and they didn't learn the things that might help them to pass that test or whatever, but they did learn, and they will continue to learn. So embracing that and being able to go, we need to embrace that change. And it's hard for people.
Yeah, change is the big barrier, as well as the one size fits all model. Mm-hmm. Because you just brought up something that reminded me, I have two children, a daughter and a son. My son is older than my daughter. He did not like school, and he never connected with adults at school. And so that whole personal connection piece was missing for him. He sat alone oftentimes in the quad, you know, playing on his phone. So when the pandemic hit, he actually thrived. Huh. And his grade, he got A's in COVID. But my daughter, who's a social butterfly, she hated it, you know? So kids, they need different things. And I don't think we always recognize that. And that's what I like about this work with remodeled classrooms and student engagement, is that we rethink what we're doing to not be a one size fits all. And that often is hard for people who've been around a long time and feel that's the only way to do it.
We all feel it. Students are struggling more than ever with emotional and behavioral challenges. Lighthouse Therapy offers virtual, hybrid, and in-person behavioral and mental health support that builds around your school environment. Our licensed professionals are trauma-informed, experienced, and trained to work with K-12 students and staff. You don't get a cookie-cutter approach. You get a partner who listens, adapts, and builds trust. Because when students feel safe and seen, they thrive. Learn how you can get support at your school at lighthouse-therapy.com/brighter together. Yeah. And when you've got the pressure to from, and again, it comes from top down, right? That's why I challenge leaders, because it is the leaders that are the ones that are going to make the changes. Because again, they're not going to do it if they're not given the opportunity to do it, for sure.
Yeah. And the sad thing is people feel like they need permission.
Mm-hmm.
And I always challenge, you don't need permission to do what's right for students, but it does take a different type of leader to be okay with not necessarily putting their job on the line, but sometimes you have to, right, for the right thing. Mm-hmm. And I've always said, if I'm not a fit ethically for an area, then I'm just not going to be there, because I want to, if it doesn't fit my needs in terms of what I think is best for students, then it's just not a fit.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, there's a lot of places like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's what put you and I in the positions that we're in, is that we're willing to take, you have to be a little bit of a risk taker to be a superintendent. You have to be a risk taker to start a company. You have to be willing to fight for what you feel is right for those kids. I always say, if you don't like me, you can work with somebody else in our company. And if you really don't like how we do things, then you probably don't want to work with us. You know, I mean, it's like, it's just, we will accept any student that needs services. But, you know, again, it has to come from the leadership to accept the way that things are done. We always try to align ourselves with what the school is doing, because we're contracted for them. And, you know, but it's ultimately our goal is always for, and our mission is at the end of it, is for the betterment of students always. So putting the student, I say, you know, we have our clients that are our schools that we contract with. And then we have the therapists that I consider them both our customers, because the therapists are the ones that are doing that work day in and day out. It's the reason that Lighthouse exists, because too many therapy companies did not consider the fact that the therapists are the ones that are doing the work. Just like you're talking about the teachers, they're the ones that are day in and day out in those classrooms, working with those kids, making sure that change happens and that they learn and that they love what they're doing. But ultimately, those two come together, the client and the school and the therapist. The bottom line of everything is those kids. And that's what we're doing. That's why we're here, right? Is to serve those students.
And it's great that work.
Yeah. And it matters. If you take that perspective of, this is, you know, 2025, what are we doing with the kids that are living in 2025, not 1950, not 1970, not 1990 even, you know?
So. Yeah, that's funny you say that, because yesterday we had an academy leadership meeting, which has teachers from across the campus and classified staff. And one of the teachers brought up how the students are not really literate in current technology, meaning when you have to use a Google Slides presentation or a Google Doc and they're speaking to them about what the requirements are, students are saying, wait, how do you do that? But you give them a TikTok, like I bring my TikToks to my daughter And I say, can you help me edit this video? Because I have no clue how to do it. They know how to do that, like the back of their hand. Mm-hmm. So we have to change the way that we're teaching them as well, because they're far more advanced in some areas, but then they need their hands held in some of the things that we're used to doing for years.
Yeah. And isn't that interesting? The technology, even technology changes and challenges are sometimes limiting, because it's easier in some ways, but harder in other ways. And then there's those of us that are like, technology, oh gosh, tell me, show me, I don't know.
But here you are at the podcast. Look at you.
Yeah, I am. And we do have TikTok. Well, that was when I dug my heels in. For a long time, I didn't. And TikTok is our most successful platform right now for the podcast. And
oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Yeah. I'll have to follow you.
Yeah, there you go. We're on there. Brighter Together. Go get Brighter Together podcast. It's on there. We get lots of views, and it's exciting. So I don't know. I'm learning as well. TikTok is fun to me. I have, and I'm going to plug something crazy on TikTok. I didn't think I'd bring it up on this podcast, but there's a channel on TikTok called The Kindness Mob. And they go out and they mob other accounts and just give kind comments. I'm telling you, that is one of the funnest things that I have done every single day. If I miss, I'm sad, because I don't have time to always do it. But he puts out a video every day and talks about and kindness for everyone always. Let's just be kind to each other. There's not enough kindness in this world. And it's just one of those things where you can go and you can say something kind to somebody who's out there just trying, just like we are every single day. We're fighting every single day for our kids. These people are out there and they're just, and I don't have the nerve or the strength or the knowledge to do what these people are doing. But I love going out. And it's interesting too, because I see autistic kids and I see special needs kids and I see parents that are putting out things about their kids, and we get to chant, people that are struggling with mental health and just fighting for their own mental health, for their kids, for whatever. And it's just beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. So there you go. So
yeah,
if you want, just got to look up The Kindness Mob and join. I think he has over 100,000+ people that are doing it now. So,
but yeah, that's awesome.
Anyway,
need more of that.
Anyway, so we talk about TikTok and there you go. There's my one plug for TikTok beyond the podcast. So
yeah, my kids say I do mom cringe. So, that's about my level of TikTok is mom cringe. Whatever.
I don't know. It's okay though. So, so what would you say to somebody who's hearing this and going, I want to, I'm a superintendent. I'm willing to, fight for the kids. I love the kids. How do I start stepping into this? What would you say to them?
Well, it's hard. So I never planned to be a superintendent. Everyone I know will tell you that I say that. And I, as a superintendent, in my particular case, I have 7 bosses. And so that's often a challenge. And so I think superintendents have a particular challenge because they don't just have one person who's their boss.
Right.
And sometimes those 7, or in most traditional school districts, 5 board members have their own agenda items and their own philosophies and what type of leader you should be and what kids should learn, et cetera. So you have to start off with being, confident enough and strong enough to do what's right for kids and be able to, and you might in your heart feel that way, but to actually take the risk. Because once you do that and set that example, I think your staff feels more comfortable doing it. Mm-hmm. Because I've worked for several superintendents. So when the superintendent does not feel the same way as you do, you just keep quiet and you keep your head down, do what you need to do. And I think that the most important person in the school district is the superintendent setting that model and setting that example, which is why I like my current role, because I feel like I get to, affect a whole population of students. Whereas a teacher, you have your classroom, a principal, you have the school, a director, you have a district, but the superintendent really can set the tone for the whole district. So I would start there as having the courage to do it.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
Reaching out to colleagues. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, yeah. And yeah, depend on the people that don't feel like you have to reinvent the wheel. Right.
Right. Right. And having examples for me, I mean, I've done the work before, so I was able to speak on my experience. If you don't have that experience, talk about those who do. Unfortunately, I hear a lot from fellow superintendents. Well, I'm just saying yes, because politically it's good for my career. Well, okay, but is your career really advancing what you ethically believe is best for education? And sometimes the answer is no. And so you really have to set that intention that that's what you're going to do as a leader if you really want to institute change in your institution.
And it isn't something that happens in one school year.
Right. Right. Yeah. For sure.
So even if you're changing one section or, you know, stepping out into one thing, change doesn't happen overnight. And people don't like change. It's uncomfortable.
Right. Well, there was a great book I read years ago. It had penguins. I forget the title of it, but it was a great allegory for this. Our iceberg is melting. That's the name of it. It's a great teeny tiny book. Have you heard of it?
Nope. I always go to Who Moved My Cheese.
Well, that one's the one I know. I've done that too. I shared some of the videos on YouTube, but the iceberg is melting. It's about getting that whole team that really is seeing that the iceberg is melting and they are willing to jump onto the one that's not, you know, melting so they survive, and then getting the others to kind of follow them. And it's how you kind of build a, I hate to say this movie, but the mean girls mentality, even though it sounds negative, there is some truth to that. You have strength in numbers, right? So. Yeah. Getting everybody to kind of feel that movie Mean Girls at the end, it was everybody was on the same page, and then change actually happened. And so you have to get buy-in from the everybody involved in order for it to really work.
Yeah.
Which takes, again, a leader who's willing to take a risk.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. My pastor several years ago shared a video of a guy, and he was just crazy dancing at an outdoor something. I don't even know what it was. I can't even tell you like what
it's a concert.
It's a concert, and he's just crazy dancing and dancing and dancing, and he's dancing alone, and then one other person. And then once that, then it was just like a snowball, you know, and just how, but it took a while. It took him, like, he was dancing alone for a good probably 5-10 minutes before somebody got up and went, yeah, this is fun. Let's do this. And then, you know, then the whole.
Setting the example. And then there's that other study they did where they had, I think it was a doctor's office. And every time a bell went off, somebody stood up, and then it ended up in the room that everybody was standing up every time the bell went off. My daughter, I was showing my children that, and my daughter said, I wouldn't stand up. And I said, I wouldn't either. But the people that wouldn't stand up are the ones in the room that are going to take that risk, right?
Yes.
Well, exactly. I always say, the one that doesn't stand up in that situation, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, they've done
or
studies.
Or the one that dances.
The one that's dancing. Be the one that's dancing. Yeah. Be the one that's out there crazy. And I, we were in an airport the other day, traveling to conferences and stuff. And I can't even remember which airport it was. We've been in so many airports, but they had this crazy line that went through, you know, it was an architectural thing in the tile. I started following the line because it was fun, but it was weird. You know, it was one of those, my daughter's looking at me and she's like, Mom, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm having fun. I'm just having fun. I have to go through these airports. I have to do these things. I'm going to do something different to enjoy myself. And people were laughing. And I was like, but they were chuckling. It wasn't like they were like, oh, she's weird. They were chuckling because it was like, I'm just stepping outside of, I have to get, you know, it's like everybody in an airport, you got to get where I'm going, get out of my way. I'm going, right?
Right.
And I get that. If you're late, you got to go. But we didn't. We had a 2-hour layover. So I was just enjoying the day. And it's a memory that she and I have that is a fun memory because I just was willing to be goofy. My kids will tell you all the time. My mom's pretty goofy, but that's okay. Yeah. You gotta be willing to do something that's outside of the norm in order to live your life and be a happy person, because just always following the crowd is not gonna make you happy.
Yeah. And I think about that in education. I think it's in fourth grade that students' interest starts declining. And it's also when we start not feeling comfortable being different.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that whatever we can do to fix that would help them as adults for sure.
Yeah. And it takes confidence to be the one that's different, you know, and that's something that as an adult, I'm there. I'm comfortable. I'm not going to I've never been one that's going to jump off the cliff because everybody else is jumping. But, you know, I wasn't always that way. You know, it isn't something that you're just kind of like, you have to find your place. You have to find your confidence. You have to believe in yourself and have others that believe in you as well. You know, so.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Which is why I think I like the kindness mob, because it's just We believe in you. We as a human being. But I don't know who, where you are. I don't know what you're going through, but I'm watching your video and I love what you're doing, and keep it up. Right. So same concept. It's the same concept of all of it. Right.
Yeah, for sure.
So, all right. So where do people go if they need, if they want to, and I promised you I would, we're past, I'm sorry. I'm looking at the time. We got talking and I'm like, oh my goodness, I lost. I promised that I'd get her out at half an hour and it's 7 minutes plus the half hour. So I apologize.
No worries.
So tell people where they go to find out information about Palmdale Aerospace Academy.
Sure. And I'd like to put a plug out there for Commerce House, because they redid our website for us, which we're proud of. Nice. That was a redesign this year that turned out really nice. So you can go to tpaa.org, and that's our website, and you can contact any of us there. And we welcome any visitors who want to come and tour the campus and love sharing what we do and learning what others are doing too. So reach out whenever you want.
Awesome.
And my email is simple. It's glynch@tpaa.org.
There we go. Beautiful. Thank you, Gina. It's been truly a pleasure. Love what you guys are doing. Keep fighting the fight. It's worth it.
Thank you. It was nice meeting you.